Okay, if y'all would, let's go to Numbers 29. We're going to read verse 1, and then we're going to go to Leviticus 23. What I do want to do is like I said before in the very opening, we're going to start talking about the feast and the festivals. And we're going to start with trumpets, which is Yom Teruah. And then we'll go through the awesome days. And we're really just going to go as the Father leads us to do this. And so, and today, I was talking to Halisa Thursday. And as I was talking to her about some things, I had a question for her. And, you know, we were talking. She was on her way back from Lexington. And she had talked about how she had gotten into looking at this show about building. And I know that there's so many people in Flip and Flop and all these shows now of remodeling and rebuilding and redesigning and all of that. And so naturally, as we were talking about that, we started in our conversation liking the building process to what's going on in the Hebrew Roots and the Torah community. And so how many people know what Pinterest is? Okay, and if you don't know what Pinterest is, maybe somebody can show you something off of Pinterest. But anyway, so Pinterest is something that we're going to have a little fun today as we, I know that Terry and Sandra had just built their home, and she said they're still going through some things, building, and Sharon and Brian just built their home, and Doug and Tara is in the process of building one. And so I'm going to use them as examples as we go through this because I got their permission. They just don't know what I'm going to say. So, but I did make sure they don't have stones so they can hit me with it. So, in Numbers 29, verse 1, it says this: on the first day of the seventh month, you shall have a holy convocation. You shall not do any ordinary work. It is a day for you to blow the trumpets. Okay, now let's go to Leviticus 23. Leviticus 23, verse 23, 4 and 5 says this: and Yahweh spoke unto Moses, saying, speak to the people of Israel, saying, in the seventh month, on the first day of the month, you shall observe a day of solemn rest. So you can see that this is a Sabbath. This is what this means. A memorial proclaimed for the blast of trumpets. The word blast of trumpets, when you look it up in the Strong's, and it's the Hebrew word teruah. This is where we get Yom Teruah, the day of trumpets, or Yom Teruah, is the first day of the seventh month. And we also have what? A holy convocation. So he's telling us what's going on here, what to do and what not to do. Verse 25, he says this: that you shall not do any ordinary work, and you shall present a food offering to Yahweh. So you see that in trumpets, it is a solemn day. And now what we're going to talk about here is we're going to talk about where it talks about a memorial proclaimed. We talked about this a little bit last year because I want to really get to something, if I'm able to, at the end of this. Whenever we went into Passover, Pesach, and we went through 7 days of unleavened bread, but during that time, the way we reckon the count, because it's about counting, we have something called counting the Omer. And so we count the Omer for 50 days until we get to Shavuot, which is the 50th day. Now, we know the importance of that because of the Torah given and also the Holy Spirit given during the time of what we call Pentecost in Acts. So what I'm really wanting to focus on here is this part of memorial means to, in the Hebrew, it comes from the word zikaron, is zik.ron. And it means to, memorial means a reminder, and it means remembrance. And it comes from a word that means to remember. Like when there's a commandment in Exodus 20, it says to do what to the Sabbath? Remember the Sabbath to keep it holy. So that word is remember. So this word comes from that. I thought this was interesting because I'm going to have Tammy, if you would read Joshua 4, 5 through 7.
And Joshua said to them, cross again to the ark of Yahweh your Elohim into the middle of the Jordan. And each of you take up a stone on his shoulder according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Israel, Let this be a sign among you, so that when your children ask later, saying, what do these stones mean to you? Then you shall say to them, because the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the Ark of the Covenant of Yahweh, when it crossed the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. So these stones shall become a memorial to the sons of Israel forever.
A memorial. These are memorial stones. They're placed there to remind the children of Israel what happened on that day. So it's very important, and it's very interesting to me that as we're going through these feasts and festivals, there's something about this memorial. There's something about remembering. But what are we to remember? What are we reminded of? That's the key. There's many things about trumpets. One is the coronation of the king. Whenever the king would go out in the field during the time of the 6 month, during Elul, and we've studied about this many times, but this is time when they would bring and they would anoint their kings and they would set them up as king over Israel. There's many other things about Yom Teruah, but the thing that I want to focus on is the counting. And we're going to get to that in a little later, because there's something that we're to count. So in there you see, and also in Exodus 28, verse 12, the high priest had two stones. He had a stone placed here and a stone placed here. And it uses the same word, that these are memorial stones. That whenever you see the priest, there is a remembering that happens. And so we understand through the priestly garments that you even see this word. So I thought it very interesting that you have the blowing of trumpets, you have stones placed whenever they cross the Jordan, and this is only a few places that you'll see this memorial stone. So it's about remembering something. I think what happens is we as a people, as a whole, because we like the flashy, we like the things that's the outward look. I just know that I was talking to Halisa about this. When we came into Hebrew Roots, I think it was for Hebrew Roots was 2002. Now, it might have been from Tammy. She knows dates better than I do. But I just remembered it was pretty early around that. We understood some about feasts and festivals and all of that. But like I said before, we were in the ditch in most of the things that we were learning. We were going in the right direction. We just rode in the ditch, and we had a bumpy ride through most of this. But Hebrew Roots, in learning the Torah, adding the Torah and understanding it, has helped out the ride a lot better. But I'm going to mention something here in just a moment, and then you can see. But I just noticed that when we started, there was so much glamour to it. There was so much that we didn't know. And it was so interesting. There were so many new things, and things were starting to make sense. And it became very exciting. And we were just moving with it. The Torah is given for us to do two things: know how to love the Father and to know how to love our neighbor. And I think what happens is sometimes through the glamour of all of it, people start running after the glamour of trying to figure out when is he going to return, counting dates, trying to do certain things where it's not, when he says it's not for you to know the day and the time. But sometimes people go ahead and then they publish papers and they have charts and they have all of this stuff, and people get bogged down in it. But yet they don't do Shabbat, they don't eat kosher, they don't do these things, even though they'll talk about the Torah, but they're not walking it out. So this is why I have the prop here this morning. Because the first thing is, like when Sandra and Tammy, whenever she was on Pinterest, the first thing that Sandra was doing when she was on Pinterest is she was looking at the block. And she was studying the ASTM code about the tensile strength of this block and how important this was. And as she was going through this block, and she was really, the color had to be just right. It's gray, you know, because she's got to build a chain wall. You had to have blocks around there, and they was going to put, and the block had to be, because this is what's going to hold up for the slab and everything to go on. So I know that her and Tammy, as they were going through Pinterest, They were just amazed at the block, and they were looking at the design of it. Amen? Come on now, work with me a little bit. Then they go, and they started looking at the studs. And they were saying that, you know, even though this is number two pine, because it has one knot at the top, but you can see pretty much it's not free. But usually most things will have a bruise or two in its life. So this is number two. I'd hate to go to number one pine, because even though it has no knots, it is way more expensive. So number three, there's usually, you know, there's usually bows in this wart. But this is, I need my wall to be straight. So Sandra and Tammy, they went through Pinterest through a lot of the, and found that the Mississippi pine was probably one of the best. And so, and then they also researched the place that where this was milled to make sure that even though this was a two before, it kills Tammy because it ain't really two before. It's one and a half, but what, three and a half, amen? So it's really not two by four, Jeremiah. So it is a lie. And she just, and she called up the factory and told them, cutting the wood, that, you know, you people are really lying. You say it's false advertising. And so, and that really bogged Tammy. So they really, before they can move on to any other thing, Tammy had to make sure that she called the factory and said, look, don't put two before on this if this is not a two before. Okay? And then she posted it. That's right. That's where Facebook comes in. So anyway, so let me put this down here. Now, I know that also bothers about the writing, so just turn it on that side and you won't see the writing, okay? So I'll do that for her. So they go through Pinterest, and then also Sharon starts to build a house. So her and Kelly get together, and she's talking to Kelly about the screws that's going to go into, and how many, you know, how many per inch is the screw? Is it winds? Is it close? Is it coarse? They're nice and green, but these are number nine screws. And these number nines, and they are powder coated to a place to where there's no corrosion. And so she's talking with Kelly, but Kelly's like, I don't know, let's look some more. Kelly likes the gold screws. Kelly likes the gold screw. They're still number nine. They're still number nine, but they're gold. They still have and this one says multi-purpose. So the multi-purpose, you could probably get away, but she's so they're going back and forth on Pinterest, and she's saying, but this doesn't rust. This is to be there for, until I die anyway. You know what I'm saying? But this may, but I'm not, and this is going into the two before, and we definitely need it long enough, because when we toenail this, I mean, this has got to hold my house together. So they're going through Pinterest, and they're going, and they're wondering about this, and she says, well, if we don't hit it just right, we have anchors. We can just put an anchor in the sheetrock and we can do whatever. Well, then here comes Tara and Hannah. Tara and Hannah, they're on Pinterest and they're talking about their duct work. In case you wonder what this is ducking for the AC. And so as Tara says, you know, I've been looking up and there's more CFM and less restriction when you use round pipe versus square duct, this fiberboard, because I'm wanting to make sure that when Doug is fussing, I want to make sure he gets all the cool air he can get. When I want to make sure that air is getting into where it needs to be. And then from that, we have this nice silver tape. Don't put duct tape, because heat, when it hits duct tape, it's going to release. So there's a special tape that they're using just for you ladies. It comes in bling. It comes in sparkly silver. And then when you do that, because they have plenty of room in their attic, and they're going to put some decking right on both sides. When you go out of the school room, there's a place. And they're going to foam their attic so that in their attic it'll be cool, that whenever they're sitting up there in their chairs, they can admire their ductwork when they drink coffee. So they can go up there. So we have this special bubble wrap. It's called bubble wrap. And this insulates the piping so that you don't drip, and it keeps all the cold air where it's supposed to be. Amen. So you can see how they go through Pinterest, and then, and this was mean of Tara, but it was okay, because she told Hannah, she said, you know, your dad can't measure worth a flip. You know what I'm saying? And so they have these special little fittings that whenever you need to turn something, or all, because if he don't get it right, he might have to move over just a little bit. And you know, like I said, he can't read a tape. So they have these, and this is something I think we're probably going to have to get a few of just for his era, okay? So I appreciated that, Tara, for all of that confidence that you have in me. Okay. Usually when people go on Pinterest and they're starting to build a house, who really looks at this stuff? But what's the most important? This stuff. The foundation. The thing that's not seen is the most important. Danny Atkins, he's a good friend of mine. He does AC work. I told him the other day, I mean, has it been hot? It's been hot. I said, heat index at 105. It's been. I told Danny, I said, if you would, he's a good air conditioned guy, does great work. I text him and I said, Danny, I said, man, look, text the Lord and tell him to turn the heat down. And he said, I'm happy, happy, happy. He said, I love the heat. I said, what? He said, I can get a good woman to get a man to sell his bass boat when that AC goes out. And I said, well, I guess you're right, because when that AC goes out and it gets hot, that bass boat's gone. Now, I ain't speaking for Doug, Big Doug. I ain't, but I'm just saying, the thing is there's a lot of things happen when you start getting hot. But a lot of times, whenever we're building the house, usually we go through the cabinets. Uh-oh, and it even turns. How did y'all like that little maneuver? I didn't do that. I can't do that. I'm barely knowing how to punch this button up here. But that was sweet. But do we not look? Knowing good and well there's nobody going to build this, but we're going to look at this stuff. Amen? Because this is what we really, this is what's important to us, is usually the things that we look at. Do we have another one? Uh-oh, here comes one. Oh, the flooring. Now, this looks like Doug and Tara's home. And this is their flooring. Look at Doug back there. But what happens is we're looking at the flooring here, the marble flooring. Before we go to the floor store, you know, we got to have an idea exactly what we want. Now, that is pretty there, isn't it? It is pretty. Here's another one. What is this one? Oh, it's the furniture. Yeah. How y'all like that furniture? Hobby Lobby. No, not for that. That's right. Hobby Lobby's not there. What was that? What in the old days when we used to have all the paintings? What was that? Home Interior. There you go. Home Interior. You can become a member and you can get it all cheaper. Just sell everything to your friends and get yours free. Let them pay for you. That's really a good way to do things. And you can be wealthy and you can own this. But usually, do we not, though, really and truly, in all honesty, when you go to Pinterest and you're building a house, this is what you look at. Nobody looks at the very things that are hidden. And this is why I wanted to use this little prop today, is in this, is that as being in the Torah starting in 2002, I can tell you, spiritually, this is what I looked at. Because what is new? What's really going on? What's the next greatest thing? What's the next best thing? What's happening out there? Boy, this is exciting. But the more and the more and the more I started reading and learning and reading and learning. And then when they asked Yeshua, what is the greatest commandment? And he said, love the Father with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And love your neighbor as yourself. And then I started thinking about the Torah itself. The commandments, eating kosher. Eating kosher is something he told us to do, and by doing that, we're honoring him. Honoring him on a day that he told us to be there and not reinventing a day. He said, remember the Sabbath and to keep it holy. Once a week, you can honor me by doing what I ask you to do. I want to commune with you. I want to commune with you all the time if you'll just take time and commune with me, but at least one day a week, you're going to commune with me. And then the feast and festivals. What we've done as a whole, we've reinvented times and seasons. So we say, well, we're going to celebrate a birth and death. We're going to celebrate what we want to celebrate rather than what he tells us to celebrate. So what happens sometimes is we get to looking at the pageantry of things rather than, because you know what? When you really look at it, this is not very pretty. But this is so, so important. TM spec to this cinder block. Now, let me say something else. This is a what? A level. This is used to level whenever a brick person is going to build that chain wall, he's going to use a level. And it needs to be level this way, but it also needs to be level which way? This way. So what is this for? What is this? It's also a level. It's his big brother. And so what's this one for? It's for studs, but also in the brick, what happens when you start laying these brick? Because see, I can lay this next brick and my mortar can be, say, an eighth of an inch higher than the mortar underneath. But if I put it on just this brick, I can get the block level. And say the next one's just a little bit thicker on the mortar and I get the block. But what's happening to the whole line? It's starting to run uphill. That's why you need the longer level. Because this right here, it has its purpose and its design, but you have to use it in the purpose. And the Torah has that. The purpose has its design. We just need to learn, just because Bo's called a level, but there's different functions for each one. You don't need this just for this one block. If that's all you got, you can use it. But once you start laying blocks and you get out here, then you'll say, is this chain wall, is this wall now going straight? Is it plumb? Is it in or out? When does this usually matter? I can tell you when this usually matters. It usually matters about 10 years down the road when you start looking at your house one day and you drive up and things are sagging. And you're going to say, well, I thought only when we got old we sagged. But you don't realize that, why is my house sagging? The older my house gets, what is it going to do? 30 years, it's just going to fall over? And so what happens is, and I can, you know, my dad, he's passed away, and my dad has the same carpenter skills as me. You can drive up to my mom. He added a carport, him and Mr. Catlett did, years ago. And I was part of that. I was there again handing up the boards. But Dad was not going to cut into his fishing money to build that carport. So he probably had those studs on about 3-foot centers. And if you drive up to my mom's carport today, it's got the lean. So we got the hippest carport because it's got swag, babe, because it's just leaning to one. And good thing it's leaning into the house because it won't fall that way. But it's got a lean to it. But I know my dad, and he would work until the fish were biting, and he's going fishing. Amen. But he wasn't going to cut into his money either. So I know one day we may have to go in and probably brace things up, but we'll figure that out when that time comes. Because right now it looks hip, okay, without being a hip roof. So what we see is in the Torah, we do see that these feasts and festivals are the very foundation of what we do. This is why the feasts and festivals are so, so important. And here's the thing. You start doing it your way, you're not going to have a sound house. Because without this foundation, because I promise you right now, in the wintertime, you don't really care a lot about air, but right now you do. There's a lot of people that cares about their air right now. And it's very important what we do. So, let's go to Psalms 89. I hope this little bitty thing here helped us out a little bit, because it really helped me out, because of I've already been, I don't know, this is 2018. We started in 2002. I'm talking about Hebrew roots. Before we met Bill and all of them, I just know that the older I get, the more important this stuff looks. You know what? This stuff's beautiful. That stuff up there, well, let me, it's more, yeah. The tatami is more beautiful. This stuff, well, let me just say this. You go up there and you go and you put a, let's say you're going to put a, where does a chandelier go? Dining room, foyer. Okay, either one. We're good, either one. Because you got one in both places, so you're right, okay? So, all right, so here's a chandelier. chandelier we put up for Sandra and Terry, how much did that thing weigh? The chandelier is pretty heavy. Amen? Let's just say it's heavy. Even though I have no judge of weight. Do you guys, y'all know what anchors are? And what do you use anchors for? Support or hang something when there's nothing there. So if you take this plastic anchor and you drill a little hole and you screw it into the sheetrock and you hang that chandelier there over your dining table, how's that going to work for us? It ain't going to stay there long. It ain't going to stay there long. So to be able to hang the chandelier, you have to come back to all of this stuff over here. You got to come back to this, and you got to come back to these screws. Jeremiah kills me. He says, why do you buy those little screws? Go ahead. Testify, baby. Amen. I know. He says, why do you go and buy them inch and a quarter screws? I need to get to the meat of the wood. And I said, you're right. I don't know why I do. I'm just a toenailer. You know what I'm saying? I just sort of connect to. He said, that ain't good enough. But he's the carpenter. I'm not. He said, you need to get through both pieces of wood so it's solid. Because this is what binds this wood together to do its job. So I'm learning to buy bigger stuff. Now, I just buy it all that way, and I go through, and I rip my clothes on the other side of the board. I'm just saying. Chapter 89, verse 15. This is from the NASB. It says, we say this a lot. How blessed are the people who know? I'm going to stop right there. Know means, how blessed are the people who experience, who have the knowledge, or who are instructed, who's been taught and instructed. So how blessed are the people who know the joyful sound. And that word joyful sound, when you look it up, both of them words together is teruah. O Yahweh, they walk in the light of your countenance. Now I want to read this word, same scripture, from the Most Holy Bible, the ESV. And that's the one I use. It says, blessed are the people who know the festival shout. And that hit me in a way. Because I've read this other, blessed are the people who know the joyful sound of the shofar. We quote that, we sing that, we say that. But when I read it in the ESV, blessed are the people who know the festival shout. You know, last year when we talked about this, remember we talked about Jericho. Whenever they marched around the city seven times and they gave out a what? A shout. You look it up, that word is teruah. That is an awakening blast. And when they gave that teruah out, the wall came down and they went in and conquered the city. There's power in this festival shout. So it's not just a horn that's blowing. We are to be blowing. When we're doing the feast and we're walking out the feast, guess what we're doing? We're doing a festival shout. People say, what's that on your shirt? What is a, how you say that word? I say Sukkot, because I ain't going to try to say it without saying Sukkot. Because you get every word other than Sukkot. And we wear these shirts, right, when we go. What is that? Do you know what I just did? That was a festival shout. It's showing them the festivals. I even had somebody this week, me and Jeremiah was at a little convenience store, said, I like your shirt. Do you have another one? They wanted one. Don't have a clue what they're wearing, but I asked Tammy, she didn't have another one. But she liked the scripture on the back of it, and she liked, you know, the way it came out. But the thing about it is something about that festival shout, but it says this, blessed are those who know what that festival shout is. It's one thing to hear it thunder. It's another thing to when you hear that trumpet call on that day. 1 Thessalonians, when it says there's going to be a trumpet that's going to be sounded in that day. And when that trumpet is sounded, it says, blessed are those who know that festival shout. Because if you don't know that festival shout, you're not going to hear exactly. It's just going to be muffled noise to you. Because that teruah means this. It means it's an alarm for war. It's a war cry. It's a battle cry. It's also a shout for joy. It does both. So whenever this shout is made, you need to be able to interpret. Is it a shout for joy or is it a war cry? It's very important for us. If something happened right now, if somebody came in here to harm us, we would have a battle cry in a sense, then you would know what to do and how to respond. But it would be awful if somebody came here to bring good news and we all went in a battle cry mode and feeling full of holes. You know what I'm saying? It's important that we know and that we can interpret what that shout is. So he says in 89 again, he says, blessed are the people who know the festival shout, who walk. See, there's a difference in somebody who just wants to wear a shirt and who's doing what the shirt says. So what you see here is this, who walk, O Yahweh, in the light of your face. So do you see what that's saying? When we understand, when we know what that festival shout's about, we walk in it, we're walking in the very light of his face. So what is it? When we do what the commandments asked us to do in this regard, we are showing forth the light of the commandments. We're showing forth the very light of Yeshua and representing him properly. Amen? Okay, let's go to Leviticus 25. And we're going to talk about the counting just a moment. And then we'll be ending up pretty soon. I just want to use some examples. In Leviticus 25:3, it says this, for 6 years you shall sow your field. Now this is talking about the counting here. 6 years you sow your field. For in 6 years you shall prune your vineyard and gather its fruit. 6 years you're to do these things. But in the seventh year, there shall be a Sabbath of solemn rest for the land, a Sabbath to Yahweh. So it shows you that this Sabbath rest is not anything about you. It's about, this is the rest of the land, a Sabbath to Yahweh. And it says, you shall not sow your field or prune your vineyard. Now I wrote down in here, how serious is Yahweh about this? So I got this off of a little commentary piece, and I just want to read it. Time that they spent, this is talking about what happened to the children of Israel, Judah, whenever they did not let the land rest. They went into captivity for how long? 70 years. And I just wanted to read this little commentary piece. It says, the time they spent in exile was to make up for the years of rest that the land had been denied by the Israelites not observing this command from the master. Israel has apparently failed to observe the land's 1 in 7 year Sabbath for 490 years. So the term of the Babylonian captivity was set at 70 years to make up the deficit. 2 Chronicles 36:21 says this, the land enjoyed its Sabbath rest all the time of its desolation it rested until the 70 years were completed in fulfillment of the word that Yahweh had spoken to Jeremiah. Says this, it says the exact number of years, the Sabbath, in 490 years from the period of Saul to the Babylonian captivity, the righteous retribution for their violation of the Sabbath of letting the land rest. 70 years probably began in the fourth year of Jehoiakim when Jerusalem was first captured and many captive, as well as the treasures of the temple were carried away. They end with the first year of Cyrus, who, on taking Babylon, issued an edict for the restoration of the Jews. He allowed them to go back. And this is where Ezra 1:1, you started seeing Ezra and all of that happen. So what I wanted to say is this. I'm not here trying to tell anybody I know what year we're in. I understand by what research I could come up with that we're probably in year number 4. But whenever, what happened is We count the Omer, and we do it, and we recite it. But Israel did not count years. They did not let the land rest every 7 years, and they didn't have a Yovel. They didn't have everything returned because they wouldn't have faith to walk out this commandment. Now, what I'm saying here is this, is going to return. And what we're learning to do, we're learning about it. This is something that I don't have a farm. But I will tell you what I did do years ago whenever we were going through this. I do deer hunt, and I had a deer patch, and I didn't plant it that year. I let it rest. That was my way of acknowledging to him, I understand what you're saying. I don't understand everything, but I understand, and I don't even really know if it's the right year or not. This is just what the Jews in Jerusalem and everybody has reckoned it to be in the count. And I was just telling the Father, I want to count. Because why? Because the count is important. Because the count, Yovel is our freedom. Jubilee is our freedom. This feast has not been fulfilled yet in its entirety. Passover, the death, burial, and resurrection of Yeshua, the Holy Spirit being given at Pentecost or on Shavuot, these feasts and festivals have been fulfilled, and they're still being fulfilled in our lives today. But that trumpet blast, I want to know, and I believe the Father, because He said this, He said, even the Son don't know the day and the hour whenever He's going to say, Yeshua, go get your bride. But there is a season, and we need to have our ears tuned to the season. In talking to Halisa, she's not saying either that we're going to wait till you can live like you want to till the next Yovel. That's not what she's saying here. What she's saying here is this, is that was my question to her, and she didn't give me a definitive answer. You know how Halisa says it's yes and no. I said, yeah, it's one of those deals, because that's her good way of. But the thing is for us to try to know the day and an hour, that's not what we're trying to do. But what we're trying to do is we're trying to understand His feasts and festivals and what they're speaking to us, because I do believe 110% this world that we're in is nuts, okay? But guess what? Whenever the Jews were in Germany and all around Europe back in 1937, they said the same thing. This world is nuts. Because they started going into concentration camps. They started going. So you can see that back in 1492, whenever King Ferdinand and Isabel expelled the Jews from Spain, they probably said, this is the end. This world is nuts. Our world has a cycle of being nuts, okay, so I'm not just running out there and telling you because of what's going on, the end is tomorrow. But what I am telling you is this, I don't have to worry about what's going on in government. I don't have to worry about that because that's not where the thermometer is. The thermometer is in Jerusalem. And you know there's one thing that Halisa said to me, and she said, I'm going to tell you, and this is what started this foundation, because it started ministering to her, and I was sharing with her some of this. And then I said, bing, I said, I'm going to bring this. And I was sharing it with her because she understands about planning and building too. She said, have you ever thought about whenever we meet Yeshua, when it's all said and done, and we meet Yeshua, and He starts asking us questions? And He's probably going to ask this question. This is from her. What city do I love? What city do I love? And the answer would be what? Jerusalem. Have you ever been there? No. I've been to Disneyland. I've been to the Smoky Mountains. I've been to Branson. I've been to the Grand Canyon. But have you been to the city I love? I'm not asking you, have you been to the place you love? I'm asking, have you been to the places I love? That's a whole new perspective. Because really and truly, like Pinterest, we look at the glamour and we look at all the fine things that really we can't have. And we get into wishful thinking and we get into la-la land and all of the above. And then we forget what's important to our King. What's important to Yeshua, what's important? Because when He said in John, and I'm so glad He said it in the New Testament, if you love Me, you'll keep My commandments. If you love Me, you'll do things My way. If you love Me, you will call the festival shout a joy. Look, Yom Teruah is a day of judgment. Because in the day of judgment, that's when this, but there's 10 days of awe. There's 10 days. You count 10. There's another counting, is there not? You don't think that Yahweh is merciful? Because, see, when I was taught back as a young Baptist boy, there's going to be a trumpet, and I got my ticket out of here. And if you don't have your ticket punched, you're done. But that ain't what the Scripture says. There's just a lot of things added to the foundation. But it really wasn't foundation. There was a lot of things added to the bling bling. There was things hung on the foundation that wasn't true. The Torah is the things really that's hidden. The things that we're supposed to walk out, the things that we do, is covered up by the sheetrock. It's covered up by the pain. It's covered up by all the things that we want it to look like. And so what happens is in these festivals, Yom Teruah, blowing and counting 10 days. Do you know that's mercy? To give people 10 days to get saved? To give 10 days, literal days, when all hell is breaking loose all over this world. When the beast and the false prophet and all of this stuff is wreaking havoc everywhere. That's how he doesn't want any of us to perish. But this festival shout, this Teruah, and do you know what? I believe with all of my heart. It's because when Yahweh flooded the earth, a total flood, when it all was over with and all of the waters receded, Noah came out, and what was the first thing Noah did? A sacrifice. A sacrifice of praise, of thankfulness. Look, the whole world just got destroyed, but he didn't. And he was thankful that the Father warned him and that he had enough faith, even though it's never rained, to build a boat and to build a big boat and to build a boat bigger than they've ever seen before. And they're going to put animals on this boat. How's that going to work? You know what? I don't know how it's going to work. There's things that I don't know how it's going to work. But he's telling us to build a boat, guys. And we're going to build this boat, but you got to build it with the right stuff. You build it with the right stuff, then when the winds come, it will prevail. And you know what? And if he floods it, it'll float. That's the faith that we have in what he does. But do you know what he did for us? He loved us so much that he put a bow in the sky. He said, whenever the clouds cover and the sun peeks through and the rains fall, I will set a bow as a reminder, as a memorial, as a reminder that I have made a covenant between you and the earth and myself, that I will never flood it again. So how do you know that he's never going to flood this earth? He flooded Houston, but he didn't flood the earth. And how do I know that? I know that when I'm driving down the road and I see that bow. That bow is a reminder to me that I have a promise. I may die, but it won't be by a natural flood that's going to cover the earth, because he has a promise. That is a memorial. Because even though that reminder there in Genesis comes, I mean, that's the root word, reminder. And this word memorial comes from that word. So it's all showing you that I have a sign. He tells us, we say it every week in here, in Exodus 31, that the Shabbat, the Sabbath, is a sign. That we're his. Those people who walk in his feast and festivals, we belong to him. And it's what? It's a memorial. So what I'm saying here in the first part of this teaching is we have to know, when you do this, whether you know it or not, something radiates out from you. There's something radiates out from you that touches people's lives. Whether you say it, whether you wear it on a shirt. Because do you know how many times, I mean, I'm over here getting this stuff. You know, I went over there, I got us some screws. Because Jeremiah knows I probably got some in the shed. But anyway, but we got more screws, Jeremiah. So I wanted pretty ones. I didn't want them kind that you probably, Jeremiah's frugal. I'm not too frugal. He probably used things and undo them and put them back in the shed. I couldn't have dirty, had to have gold ones for your mama. You know what I'm saying? I had to have some bling. When I went over there, and I'm doing this, you know what the question they asked me? I'm just putting it on the counter. And they said, when are you going to your thing in the fall? Your thing. What are you doing? I said, it's Sukkot. It's, to you, it's probably like the Feast of Tabernacles. Yeah, I understand the Feast of Tabernacles. I understand tabernacles. And I said, and we're starting to teach about trumpets. And I'm going to use this stuff as a prop. And do you know what? Sharing the gospel, the good news, the festival shout happened yesterday by just gathering the stuff. You have opportunities. You have opportunities, naturally, when you have to ask off. You know, where are you going again? What are you doing? You know, but the thing is the festival shout is important. And it's also about counting. Because there's going to come a time at the end of Yom Kippur when there's going to be a trumpet blast. And when that trumpet blast, there's going to be the closing of the gates. And when that gate closes, it says in the scripture that there's going to be people knocking. And he's going to say, "Can I help you?" And they said, "Let us in." He said, "Don't you remember how we laid hands on the sick and they recovered? Don't you remember how we raised the dead? Don't you remember?" But what did Yeshua tell them? "Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. You people who did it another way. Who I never knew you. I never had a relationship with you." And this is why this is so important. My prayer used to be, I have a relationship with my King. But when I started learning Torah, and I started getting away from Pinterest, and I started getting into this, I said, "Father, I pray that you have a relationship with me." It's not what I say, it's what he's going to say that day. Because one of these days, he's going to have this scroll that was sealed in Daniel. And he's going to pop that seal off, and he's going to unroll that scroll. And I hope and pray my name's in there. I hope and pray your name's in there. But that's how important the counting is to know, to understand, to experience. And that's what these festivals are about. Do we know everything? Absolutely not. But I will promise you this, if we will keep doing what he asked us to do, that day when that trumpet blows, it will be so clear, and it's going to say, "Come, my people. Come gather my people." And when that happens, you're going to hear it. And at that moment, you're not going to worry about the electric bill. You're not going to worry about the car. You're not going to worry about, you're going to say, "And I'm not going to worry about these beautiful houses that we built. Somebody else move in. I'm going to the home that he's prepared for me." Amen. Let's pray.